Okay, Andrea, I am going to ask you to spell your full name for me, please.
Okay. It's Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, C for Chambers, Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E.
Okay, thank you. This is an interview with Andrea Lytle on April 9th, 2022. And the interviewer is Leslie McKesson. Okay. So, Andrea, you are one of the children of one of what we call the West Concord Mothers.
Mm-hmm. The Seven Mothers.
The Seven Mothers. So tell me about that. What is the proper name for this group of women that we're talking about?
It was the Seven Mothers.
The Seven Mothers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when was that name first used?
It was first used when they got together, all these mothers came together. There was six from the West Concord area, and then one that came from, I would say, Vine Arden, that was Laura, what was her name?
Thomas,
yeah. Yes, Laura Thomas. And then there was my mother, Willette Chambers, my aunt, Annie J. Hicks, Rose Johnson, Mildred Lodgen, who kind of like spearheaded the whole thing, Miss Lucille Relaford, and she's a pony.
Beverly's mother. Beverly Charles's mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know who you're talking about, and I've got her name written down.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your earliest memories of the Seven Mothers?
My earliest memories was they once they met in the community, then they reached out to Reverend McIntosh, and he had them come into his house up on what I used to call Yellow Mountain Road.
Mm-hmm.
But they would go in at night, and they would meet on several occasions until, you know, he helped them to develop a plan on how they were going to get their children going to the segregated schools. And there was like Forest Hill, which was closer to West Concord Street. And we all used to have to go to Mountain View. I'm going to pull this down. And so when we went to, I went to Mountain View up until the fifth grade.
Okay.
And so in 1964, that's when they did the integrations of the schools. And so at that time, there was four of us from my family that went to Mountain View School. And that was Gary, Dennis, Jeannie, and myself.
Wow.
And that we had to go one of the reasons they wanted us to go to Forest Hill because it was closer to home, and Mountain View was way across the other side of town. And the way we got to school, because there was no bus service, we all had to go in a taxi.
Oh, wow.
And so Booney Fleming was the taxi that transported us to Mountain View.
Oh.
And Forest Hill was within walking distance. Okay. And so part of the plan was once they came together with a plan, the parents escorted the children to that school, to the Mountain View school. There was four
to
of them.
Mountain View or Forest Hill?
Forest Hill.
To Forest Hill School, yeah.
There was actually four of us, and it's not, it was documented in my talk with Judge Sitton, but as I read the literature that's been printed and everything, there's no mention of us, the four that had to go to Central, where the courthouse sits. In downtown Morganton, there was a school called Central.
Oh.
And that school was where a lot of the children from Riverside Drive and for the, all the elite kids and all. And
the, it was Central what? Was
Central, I guess it was Central. It was an elementary, middle school all combined.
Okay.
But it was called Central.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the people that actually went to that school was Robert Forney, Beverly Forney, Marilyn Forney, and myself. Okay.
Marilyn
Forney, which was Beverly Forney's sister, baby sister. And we were all like supposed to be in, well, at the time of integration, I had passed the fifth grade at Mountain View. But when we got sent to Central, Bobby Forney and myself got put into a special ed class.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And while we were in that classroom consists of a lot of children that had physical and mental development.
Hmm.
And we were more like an assistant to the teacher than we were getting an education.
Wow.
And we had to help the teacher and take the kids to the restroom and do all that type of things.
Wow.
And during that time, Bobby, I call Robert Forney Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
He and I was on a quarterly basis or something. We was visited by a psychologist that came and gave us the ink block test. And every time they did the test, they would come back, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later and say, "We don't understand." I said, "Well, what is it you don't understand?" Well, we just have to continue testing. So they did that test for a year and a half. And that final year that they did that testing, they told us, said, "We made a mistake." And that's when I sat back and I said, "You made a mistake? Okay, what are you going to do to rectify this mistake?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, we'll have to talk to the principal and some other people and get your parents to come in." So, when they tried to...
With the church.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When they came to try to make it right, they said, "Okay, we can put you back in the fifth grade." I said, "Why is that?" They said, "Because half of the school year is over. And to put you back in your regular grade would not help you." So I got put back into the fifth grade. And then that was the year that I went to Forest Hill and finished the fifth grade, the sixth grade, after 2 years taken from me. So that put me in the grade with my sister and my brother.
And you never got to catch up. That you just lost that year.
I lost 2 years. They took two years out of my life. Yes. And so when I went to junior high and high school, especially high school, I could not play sports. I played 1 year of basketball. And then I couldn't play anymore because they said I aged out of the program. And that was not my fault.
Right.
But their fault.
Wow.
And there was a lot of mistreated students there. When teachers asked other students, the white students, to assist us in math or something like that, they called us names. All kinds of names.
Mm.
Even when walking home from the junior high back to West Concord Street, there was three of us that used to walk together, and that was Candace Forney, Reverly Irvin, and myself. And the kids would not let us on the sidewalk. They would come down the sidewalk singing the N-word and push us out into the street. And that went on all that year, but we had to fight I hate to say it, but we had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time we fought, we got reported to the schools. And the schools would contact our parents and tell us that they need to do something about it, or else, you know, we were going to be suspended from
mm-hmm.
school.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it put a lot of hatred in me during that time.
And the kids, the white kids, were never punished or reprimanded?
No, never. Never, never. And so I had to endure that. And it hurt, but we fought.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after so many fights with the kids, they started, you know, letting us pass.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. But that went on up until, I guess we would say, when we got to high school, it kind of leveled off a little bit. It wasn't as bad.
Now, help me get my head around the timing here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you went to Central School in the fifth grade, right?
Supposedly.
When you were in the fifth grade, but then they...
Yeah, I had finished, okay. At the time they integrated the schools, I had just finished Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they integrated the school, I was sent to Central.
Okay.
Okay.
Wasn't it 1963?
64,
63,
something.
63, because I was in... I remember my teacher, Miss Putnam.
Mm-hmm.
I was in her class, and that was the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Miss Putnam. But y'all took the beating more than we did.
Yeah, we got the worst beating.
Andre and them got the beating more than we did. We was not accepted that much,
mm-hmm.
and they tried to sit us in the back of the class, and Mama made them bring us up to the front.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She said, I want her up front.
Tell me what year, what that,
I think
63,
somewhere around there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeannie, you were in third grade?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And Andrea, you were in?
I should have been in the sixth grade, but
uh-huh.
I was in the
okay.
foot, mm-hmm. held me back.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So when the teacher was trying to make you sit in the back, was that happening to all of the black kids that were in the class with you?
I'm trying to see how many was in there with me.
Was Gary in there with you? Y'all was in, they separated y'all because
we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't many of us, but I do remember Mama speaking up and saying, I want my child up front.
Okay.
But it was you and Frieda them and Mildred's children, Kiki and Wanda.
That went to Forest Hill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Marine Corps and then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that she did was to speak up for you and get
mm-hmm.
you moved
get
off
moved
the back
up.
Of that class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And even when my parents went to speak up for me, when they told them that they made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
they said they couldn't do anything about it except
mm-hmm.
put me
where they
back in the fifth grade
because
uh-huh.
and starting all over again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That had to be so frustrating.
It
just
was.
Infuriating.
It really was.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
And there's always fights at the school.
Oh, yes. Because of the anguish and the
mm-hmm.
calling of names
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So how did this make y'all feel? I mean, you know.
I was angry and I would retaliate because of the slurs and the things they would call you in the classroom, and the teacher did nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And because even in the ninth grade, I recalled where a student pushed me into my locker as we was exchanging classes, and I turned to him and I said, "You need to say excuse me." And he said, "Why should I?" N-word. And so I followed him to his classroom, and I politely went up to the teacher and I asked the teacher, I said, "There's a young man in here that just knocked me into my locker and called me the N-word." And I said, "What you gonna do about it?" And she wouldn't do anything.
Wow.
So I walked over to him and I said, "I'm still looking for an apology." And he wouldn't apologize. So I lost it. And I turned around and I slapped him.
Mm-hmm.
And I slapped him so hard that my fingerprints was left on his face.
Wow.
And the teacher, after I did that, I walked up to the teacher. I said, "Excuse me for interrupting your class," mm-hmm. but I took care of it.
Wow.
And I walked out the door.
And what did they do to you after that?
Nothing. They didn't do anything to
me. Okay. Wow.
The principal kept telling us that they were going to call our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember Alice Kane, Deborah O'Neill, and we had a principal named Abernathy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that if we didn't get ourselves under control, not the white kids, but the black kids,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to, you know, have to call our parents in and do something about this. But, yeah. And so with that, I went on to graduate high school. I couldn't play basketball, but they made me like a, what is the,
Would you do, you helped out.
Yeah, I helped with the team.
Getting like a manager or something.
Assistant manager, but a manager of the mm-hmm. basketball team. And that really hurt. But so I was sure. able to go to college and still play basketball.
Okay,
and
good.
Then went on to graduate school, got a graduate assistantship, and then coached a little bit in basketball at Illinois State.
Oh, okay.
And then during that time, I just said, "I'm not going to look back." Mm-hmm. I know, but when I was in undergrad at St. Augustine, Burke County came to our college recruiting teachers. That anger was still built up in me. Yeah. And when I went for my interview, they was telling me, "Oh, you're familiar with Burke County School, you this, that, and the other, and we would love to have you to come back." And at the time, I dressed militant
mm-hmm.
when I went for that interview, my blue jean, my jacket, my afro, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just looked at them, I said, "Well, if you know what I had to endure,
mm.
I don't think I want to come back."
Mm.
That's why I wanted Audrey to be here, because she went through more hardship than any of us.
Yeah,
I mean,
I wasn't
like that.
Mm-hmm. About when would that have been?
I graduated from there in,
72. Was it 72?
Mm-mm.
72?
I graduated from Morganton High in 72.
Okay.
I'd say 76.
76.
Right before I graduated.
Okay.
And at that time, when I went for the interview, I had gotten that graduate assistantship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's another young lady that wanted to talk with you. But
okay.
She, her mother is in this picture with Mom.
Okay.
But they had emergency, and she had to go see about her brother today.
Okay.
And she wouldn't be back until Monday.
Okay. Well, I'm going to...
That was Christoba. She was a relative.
She's a Johnson. Now she's a Ferguson.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to try to set up a way that we can capture these stories. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was telling Andrea that I'd like to, you know, get them like I'm recording this and get them in a transcript form
mm-hmm.
so they can be available digitally. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a research database, and it can be something that kind of works along with and supplements what they've done over there,
right,
at mm-hmm. the History Museum, just so that we can get a fuller picture of the story while people are still around mm-hmm. who remembered what happened. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what's her name?
Her name is Chris Tober.
T-O-B-E-R?
Uh-huh. T-O-B-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's a Ferguson now.
Okay.
But she was a Johnson.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then it was Lucille.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Ah. Okay, so she's Miss Lucille's daughter.
And she was wanting to know, she said Monday or Tuesday is good for her.
Okay.
Either day is good for you.
If you would give her my phone number, mm-hmm. and I'll pull up my calendar and see when she might be able to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm working now 20 hours a week.
Okay.
And I got to kind of, you know, uh-huh. play around that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But there's... I think this is going to be an ongoing thing.
Oh, yes.
Because I want to, you mm-hmm. know, capture okay. as many of these stories as I can for okay. people who... Mm-hmm.
Because I can't even, you know, we didn't see Beverly or Merlin that much except for outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know their story
okay.
and what they endure.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be something you might want to
yeah.
capture.
Beverly right. Carlton?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got her. She sent me a little bit of information on the email. Because Charles was part of
her brother.
one of the people that was working with the mothers, I believe. Does that sound right? Not working with them, but mm-hmm. that the mothers advised and taught, and like they did the rest of the kids.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Yeah, I'll talk to her. What about Carl Ferguson?
He was Rose Johnson's son.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so at the time he was with my brother Irving, who
okay.
is deceased, and they went to the high school.
Okay.
The junior high and the mm-hmm. high school.
Okay.
They were ahead of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I want to just...
Now my oldest brother, Roy Chambers, mm-hmm. He went to Morganton High School with Audie Logan and all that group.
Okay.
And you heard about Robert Forney?
Robert Forney, that's who I was telling her about.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Now, he's the one who used to be married to Babe. Is that the Robert you're
uh-huh.
talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
You might want
to. And I have his phone number.
Okay.
I think I have it in my phone, too.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now tell me about your brother, Roy, again.
He went to Morganton High School and graduated Morganton High School.
Okay.
And he was in the class with Audie Logan.
Okay.
Now, who was the, I wouldn't say the first black, but the kids that was in the first class to graduate from Morganton High, you remember that?
I think it was. Was it Audie now?
And Roy.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I talked to her last Tuesday, I think.
Mm-hmm. Already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do an article for Burke County Notebook that will publish not tomorrow, Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not tomorrow, but next Sunday.
Next Sunday, okay.
Mm-hmm. And... what I'm thinking, because there are so many stories in this,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna kind of set the stage for who they were
mm-hmm.
and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tell a little bit about the history of how they got started. So that stuff you told me about Ron McIntosh was gold,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of feed forward to some of the things they accomplished.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many individual stories that can uh-huh. be a whole article, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just think about what you told me. There's a whole article.
That is a whole article.
Right.
That's
there
why I wanted
itself.
You to talk with her.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, did you tell them about how Reverend McIntosh opened up his church and had Mom and them down there?
They met a lot of places in the basement.
Uh-huh. In the mm-hmm. basement.
Because he scrutiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could,
yeah. Right. They had to hide.
They had to hide.
Artie told me they also met at Slade's. Did they meet at Slade's? So? Mm-hmm.
The only thing I remember is when the people hold on, how I want to phrase it. It was when they came, the people walked through Burke County. That's when we met as slaves, and we got out there and marched with the marchers. What's that? And Mildred Lodgen had spearheaded that. I guess what was the Freedom Marchers or whatever they wanted to call them. They came through Burke County. And that was when the Hunts was here. Reverend Hunt was here. And we went and marched to a certain point, you know, as they was going through Morganton, going to the other counties and cities across.
Was there any news coverage of that? Anything in the paper?
You know, I'm not.
You know, one thing that I've seen to be noticing is that the news was absent.
Yes,
they were. I don't remember. Even when Mom and them walked us to school, the first day of school, going to the white schools, there was no coverage.
Right.
We was not covered in either.
The media.
Media.
Because I even remember, you know, Woolworth in downtown Morganton. And I think they did a walk-in, a sit-down there. I can't tell you who were the people were, but I'm thinking that was, but I know we had to go in the back door in order to go into the store and the water fountains in the downtown street. On the streets is for white only and colors here and all that, those phrases, and I do recall all that.
There's a whole lot of stuff that happened in Morganton that didn't get reported.
Exactly.
And there's a, I don't know if you've read it, I can send it to y'all if you haven't read it, there's a senior thesis by Michael Irvin, who is one of the Irvin, you know, Sam and them. And his senior thesis is called A Powder Keg Waiting to Explode, something like that. Paternalism and something in Morganton, North Carolina. Basically, what he's talking about is, you know, how leadership and the media did everything they could to keep a lid on, and did not didn't publicize things that were happening in the county. Because one thing I'm trying to do, the I'm on the North Carolina African American Heritage Commission, and there is a committee called the North Carolina Civil Rights Trail Advisory Committee, and they are putting up 50 markers across the state that commemorate civil rights things in the state. Burke County is what's called a hometown strong county, so we should have a priority. And I think that this would be the story to tell for Burke County. So, and you know what I realized? Jeannie, can I get a copy of that? Is that about the mothers?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
You want a copy of that?
Yeah, anything that you've got.
Was done, this was an article that was done in 2012.
Okay.
And that one was done March 2005.
That was in Mama's Kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. And are they from, this is from the News Herald. Good, good, good. I'm glad to see these because I hadn't been able to pull up anything.
Ain't that interesting?
Anything. And see, when they do these markers, you have to substantiate them with what they call primary research information, which comes from newspapers.
Right.
And I'm telling them, you've got newspapers who did not want to
tell this story.
And that was as much a part of oppression as anything else in the civil rights movement was. So you have to get over that.
That is
you
so
know,
true.
You got to look at testimonies and things of that nature to be fair and to tell the stories that actually happened. So I'm hoping that we'll get a marker here in Burke County. And it needs to be in a prominent place, you know, where it's fairly easy to see. So, you know, I thought if they met at Slade's would be a good place because it's close to downtown, kind of walking distance. But it needs to have been a place where they met.
And that was up on, you know, up on the lake, sort of.
Yeah,
you know, where
yeah,
McIntosh,
yeah. Max was way up there, yeah, up there at my house.
Yeah,
you know, drive all the way out there. I guess maybe Max Church.
His yeah, church, his church,
Green Street.
Street. Uh-huh. I think they might have met there for they, a yeah. little while, but they had to be scrutinized
sure.
where
yeah,
they had
sure.
to go.
Yeah,
because didn't want to get him in trouble.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of what I'm telling in this story Sunday, how everything had to be very secretive.
Yeah, because he's the one that put them in contact with a lawyer, and it's specified in that article
there. Oh, okay, good.
How they had to get a lawyer and get some direction on what they needed to do. It's more on the second page because they break it down into the plan and everything.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeannie, can I make a copy of these and bring them? Oh, yeah. I forgot. She
got
power. She
go
got
there,
all that. Yeah.
The key.
Now, is that a second one or is that the same thing?
This is one that was done in 2012 where they was interviewing people in the community like Larry Brewer and Hardy and Ruth Rose.
Yeah. If you give me a copy of that too, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So downtown Morganton Woolworth had a sit-in, huh?
I'm thinking they had a sit-in, but I know that it was for white only
right.
at the restaurant. Because you could go in there and order food, but we couldn't sit in there and eat food. We had to go out, take the food out. But you had to come in the back. But you could shop there.
Of course. You could spend your money there.
But some of them that's a lot older than me could probably shed a lot more light. But, we were able to go in and shop.
And, you know, it's important, I think, to capture and preserve these stories for younger people who don't have any context for it.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why when I used to go to a lot of those NAACP luncheon banquets and stuff, and they would have these speakers, and my concern was, why come y'all not recording this? I would say it every year.
Yeah,
I said, for our young people
that
can't attend or won't come,
right,
they could go back and hear these speeches.
Yeah, even if it's 20 years later.
Thank you.
You know,
but all they did was take pictures. I think I recorded one. I have to go back and see if I could find it. I don't know if it was when Dr. Barber was here. The head of the NAACP of, I think he was from Hickory at the time. But
I didn't realize he had local connections.
And I know I recorded one, but I have to go back and find it. And I said, I can't believe this.
man. Well, now, If there are a few things that you think are most important for people to remember about the seven mothers, what would they be?
They took a big risk, I think, you know. And I think they had to carpool to Reverend McIntosh's house. I don't think my mother was driving during that time, but Mildred would transport, and maybe one other. I think Booney may have taken some of them up there, Booney Fleming.
He was a cab driver.
And it was late evening, maybe dusk dark, when they had to leave out and be careful, you know, because they didn't know who was watching them. Because like a lot of those mothers, they had to do domestic type work, and they worked in the homes of a lot of the white people, taking care of their children, even though they had children
of their own.
You know, and that's why they had to be a little bit protective when they met with the school boards and talk about their children's situation and getting the integration passed so that we could go to the public schools. And that's so, why my mother, I think, she couldn't protect me like she would want to because of that factor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that had to be a hard conflict. You
it
know?
Was.
Putting that maternal instinct mm-hmm. against mm-hmm. what you're trying to accomplish at a community
right.
level.
Because my mother had, I can remember distinctly, there's a lot of hurt. There was a lot of hurt, but I have gotten over it. Mm-hmm. She even told me at one point, that's when the kids was marching the streets and, you know, we were retaliating because mm-hmm. they were hitting us and going on. If you don't stop this, they're going to put you in a reformatory school.
Mm.
And that hurts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now I understand why. But then I did not.
Didn't understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they had to work with the white man system.
Right.
Instead of, you know.
Yeah.
But she had other children she had to protect too.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And even, I think that's kind of, it goes to the point of what Michael Irvin is saying in his paper.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these women were trying to change society for the benefit of their children,
mm-hmm.
they had to do it according to the laws and rules that the white people had established.
Exactly.
So fairness was not what called the shots.
Exactly.
It was the systems that were already put in place.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. That's. Wow. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge sacrifice that your generation made
mm-hmm.
for civil rights.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so young, mm-hmm. you know, I think sometimes we, when we integrated in Lenore, I was in the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
We finally, was it 67? Yeah, because mm-hmm. I started in 64. So in 67 was when they finally mandated it, you know, mm-hmm. and we all got integrated. And I think sometimes the younger kids did get out of it unhurt.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. as opposed to the older kids mm-hmm. who were going through more developmental stuff.
Yes.
Who probably faced more cruelty.
Exactly. Because I was even called retard by my siblings and other black children in the community because
wow.
I was put in that special ed class. So I had to endure that. It took me getting away from Burke County
mm-hmm.
to find myself
mm-hmm.
and to live in the inner city and the diversity of people
mm-hmm.
that I encountered in my life. It helped me to understand
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of what I went through
yeah.
and where I am now in
right.
my life, you
right.
know,
right.
because it hurt a whole lot.
Sure.
It really
and
did.
The crazy thing about it, you know, you get held back basically for 2 years
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and you go to grad school.
Right. Uh-huh. I was robbed and I said, oh, my Lord. Okay.
You look back at that and you think, mm-hmm. how in the world could that have been justified
yeah.
for someone who has the intellectual capacity to get through graduate school?
Thank you. And then yeah. after that, I even had an opportunity to go overseas and play basketball for
wow.
here in the south of France.
Man.
And so,
that's cool.
You know, I say, Gloria said, I wanted to do, during the Black History, I said, well, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, I look at it like this, you know, you had the people in the black families in Burke County that was, I call it your upper echelon,
mm-hmm.
and you had some of them in the schools, and I can remember in the elementary schools, I had teachers to beat my knuckles, I'm left-handed. And I used to turn my paper slanted to right.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And they would beat my knuckles to try to make me right.
With your right hand.
Yeah, so I'm even-handed to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But they, every time I turn my paper, they turn my paper this way. You know, and
wow.
I've come to forgive them after yeah. I moved back here, you know. I yeah. said, but, you know. And then they, after they learned that I went off and made something of myself, they mm-hmm. was a lot acceptable to mm-hmm. me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just said, oh, is that what
How
it had to take?
It changed, yeah. Wow.
I said, oh.
Okay. Now, was that some of the black teachers that you had that were, mm-hmm. yeah, I was going to say that.
In the elementary
familiar.
School.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, down yeah. at Mountain View. Yeah. So out of all my mama's children, I think I endured the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Your story sounds like a book to me. I'm sorry. It really sounds like...
Sometimes, like I said, I'll write a book. And then yeah. I said, nah,
yeah.
I'll just keep going.
Just keep on keeping
keep on.
On.
Because
yeah.
yeah. I'm 70 years old now. And
no.
Yes,
well, I guess you'd have to be, mm-hmm. but I look at you and I'm like, oh.
March the 28th of this year, I
wow.
turned 70.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And people say, you don't look 70, you don't mm-hmm. act 70. I say, well, I'm just me.
Yeah.
And I said, and I love me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a good thing to be able to come out of all you endured and
mm-hmm.
be able to say, I love me.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
And that's why
right
I had
there.
To find me and
yeah.
come to love me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a story, a book or a children's book or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just talks about resilience.
Yes.
That,
mm-hmm.
wow. Yeah. Jeannie was right. She was right. She was right.
Mm.
Okay, let's see. So I got Carl,
mm-hmm.
who is Miss Ferguson's son.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tober, who
Lucille.
Is Miss Lucille's daughter.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Diane Tate was Thomas.
Laura
was Thomas's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are Miss Willett's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk to Beverly because Charles is dead.
Yes.
Charles is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Beverly.
But ask her about Central because
oh,
she,
okay.
you know, her and Marilyn. I said there was four of us that went to Central.
Did okay. Beverly go to Central? I knew Marilyn did.
Beverly, it was me, Bobby, Marilyn, and Beverly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like I said, I didn't see them inside the school. I saw them more so outside the school, but I think they got into their regular classes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Bobby and myself.
Yeah,
was
and
placed
Bobby would be a good one to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby, do I have
his name is Robert Forney.
Oh, okay.
But we call him
yeah.
Bobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
we all
married a babe at one
right.
point.
We were all raised up together on
okay.
West Concord Street.
Let me put a little.
And we came from big families.
Wow, that's what they used to have. Big families.
We need to
back
call them,
yeah.
Andre.
Huh?
We need to call them and see
what to see.
Yeah.
Let's see if I could still find his
yeah,
number.
And you know, just tell them. I'm just trying to capture these stories, and there's no big time limit
right,
on it. You
right.
know, just if it's something they want to talk about, that you know, we can get together and do an interview about it. And
I know Chris Tober; she truly wants to, but I can
let me see
know.
If I can get
okay.
him now.
Okay.
I just saw him this week in the store.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Bobby. How are you?
I'm fine. Who this be?
This be your friend and your playmate, Andrea Lytle, Chambers Lytle.
Oh, okie dokie. Now I got the voice. I got the voice.
You got the voice?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm meeting here at the public library with Leslie McKesson.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Okay. And she's trying to capture some information about when we were integrating the schools, and I was trying to tell her the story of Central, you and I attended. And would you be willing to talk to her and let her get some information from you about our experience there and going through the seven mothers and all that?
When you want this done.
Well, how you doing, Robert? This is Leslie.
Hey, Leslie, how you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good to talk to you. It's been a minute.
Yeah, same here.
I am not on a time frame. I got with Andrea and, a few of them to do an article about the West Concord mothers for the paper next week. But the rest of this is just a project that I'm kind of taking on over time. So we could do it, anytime that it's convenient.
Okay.
For you.
Cause I'm getting ready to head over to Illinois to do some work now.
Okay, no problem. You want me to just have her to send you my phone number and
then we
can text back and forth or whatever and set up a time.
Yeah, cause I gotta get some things straight about you and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that would be great.
And tell you what, Andrea did what she said.
You and me both, we kept them children.
I was going to say, she spilled the tea on herself pretty good already.
Okay, well, tell her go ahead and do that, and okay. I'll be glad to.
Can I give her your phone number?
Yeah, that's fine.
Good. All right. Thank you so much, Robert. I look forward to talking to you.
Okay. We lost our girl, didn't we?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, that was heartbreaking.
It was.
Surprising to me. I didn't realize she had been sick.
You know, me and her, we talk quite often, but I didn't know that either.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's something that she just wanted to
keep to herself.
But,
yeah. Do you know if Mary knows? You remember Mary from Legal Aid? Mary Wilson.
Oh, yeah, I remember Mary.
Yeah. I asked Chandra if she had told her, so maybe she said she'd reach out to her, so hopefully she will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I'll make sure that, Nick's got the message.
Okay. All right, sounds good, and I look forward to talking with you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too, Andrea.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, his phone number.
Okay.
It's 828-403-8279.
8279.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and mine is... You know what? I got a card I can give you.
Okay.
I can be professional.
So you gave me a card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that was a different one, but it's got the same number on it.
Oh, okay.
So, well, you know what? This doesn't have my phone number on it, but I'm going to write it on here. Okay, so that's my cell phone number.
Okay.
I think they put phone numbers on there. You know, that's what the new businesses are doing these days. They just put an email address and no phone number. Make it hard to get in touch with anybody. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all, this has been gold.
I'll never forget the day the man came down from Boone to interview Mama.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Miss Lucille. He's from Boone.
Right.
So this,
that one was done in 2012. This one is at the top of that one. It says there.
Okay.
It says March 6, 2005.
2005. This 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So which one is the one where the guy came down from Boom?
That one right there.
This one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wish I remember his name. I don't know.
Okay.
If they
did. They didn't give it in there.
No, yeah, because they've got it listed under Sharon McBrayer.
Because I remember a lady coming.
It was a man. I was there that day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chris Toba may remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does anybody still have this original photo that we could get a copy of? You know where it was?
Would they have original in there? I had that paper, and I don't know where I packed it away. But I had a picture, because I think it was in a color picture.
Yeah.
That was, I'm just going to have to look. I may have it parked out, packed out in my storage building or somewhere.
And you know, honestly, they may have it at the News Herald.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they got permission to run it. So they may have kept
the original.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is something that needs to be done. I might have to pull in some help on this. And you know, I've got a friend who is the head of the documentary department up at Appalachian, the one that did the Doolittown documentary.
Mm-hmm.
She's very interested in this.
Oh,
very interested. Mm-hmm. And she was supposed to meet me yesterday and give me some real recording equipment, but she didn't get to come down here and say, "That's all right. Me and my iPhone, we got this. Mm-hmm. We'll do it."
Because I was reading that article that Larry Brewer, where they interviewed him, and he was saying that he doesn't remember a lot about integration except what he was told. And then talked about the people. If you read that article, I said, "Oh, this is interesting." I said, "But no one ever came to me and said, what's your story?"
And I
said, I could tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Sidney and I was in, he was really kind of like fascinated. He said, "All this happened to you?" He said, "Well, why did I start to say, well, I didn't fit in that group of people." So, and I sometimes still feel like I'm an outsider looking in, and I just said,
but some of the family, people that had children that went to the school when they was integrated, I think they got, I don't know who it was, but they got to some of the parents and said, "Hush, hush," you know, in other words, and that's why Larry and them
won't say anything. Even all these years.
All these years, they
buried it. And
they told them, "Hush, hush, don't want them talking about it." Mm-hmm. And their parents told them not to talk about it.
Well, you know, that's what happened with slavery.
Yes,
that's been going on throughout our history. Shut up, don't talk about it.
But I said, I have to talk about it now. I couldn't talk about it then because I was hurting. But I talk about it now, you know. And I said, but this is what I went through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you weren't there, you don't know.
Absolutely.
You don't know.
Yeah. And you know, stuff like this, folk need to know, so we're not allowed to have it again.
Because that's why they're trying to revert everything and take us back to that day.
Yeah.
And I just said, no.
Put a clamp on everything. Yes. Can't shut out the truth.
That's it.
It's going to come out.
So I can give Chris Tobel your number and let her call you.
Yes. Okay. And tell her she might have to leave a message because my phone sees numbers it doesn't recognize and it automatically sends it to voicemail.
Okay.
So just leave me a message and I'll get back with her.
Okay.
Yeah, because like Bobby Forney said, I'll tell you some of the things that Andre did. Me, his sister Candace Forney.
He is deceased.
She's deceased now, and Reb Lieber. We were the one that had to fight our way from Morganton Junior High over the hill to West Concord to get home.
Wow.
Against the white folks.
Yeah. All the ones that they wouldn't let walk on the sidewalk.
Right. But we fought our way.
That is a part of the story I needed to hear because I hadn't heard that side.
And
Reb
lives in Charlotte, but he visits
Greensboro.
Here. Is it Greensboro?
Yeah, she's in Greensboro.
But I can get her number from Carol, because that's Carol's cousin.
Okay.
Maybe she can call you, Andre, and give...
She hit me up on Facebook, but I don't think I seen her in Greensboro one time.
But, yeah.
I don't think I got her number.
I can get her number from Carol.
And tell them, you know, this is going to be a long-term thing. So, you know, don't freak out if we don't connect within the next little bit, because we got... This is going to continue.
Yeah.
It's going to build.
Continuing.
Well, thank y'all so much.
But I knew Andre had a story to tell. That's why I told
you.
I heard it.
And that's a story that, you know, a lot of people haven't
said anything about there's still kind of a kumbaya mm-hmm, story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't that bad. And
oh, yes,
people
it was.
Were this and that.
They
and
went through it.
Yeah.
I went through it. I know
Audrey
I
went
did.
Through it. You, Bobby, and...
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I said, I can't tell Beverly's story because we didn't see them inside the school. We didn't have lunch at the time they were having lunches and everything. But
well, I know she's got a story. I've heard bits and pieces of it. I haven't heard the whole story, but I'll definitely get with her and get her her story, too. Was Gary Caldwell in there anywhere?
He was,
I don't know what his age range is.
Okay, Gary... I would have been in the school, and if I had been in my right grades, I would have been with Gary Caldwell, Perry Lattimore, Greg Chris, and all of them.
Okay.
But I got
pushed back.
Mm-hmm. So Gary Caldwell was in the...
Yeah, so he was in there, but he was ahead of me.
Okay.
You know, they were they 2 years ahead of me in school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because I graduated in 72, and they graduated in 70, and I was supposed to graduate it in 70.
So you might see Gary tomorrow if you...
Yeah, I probably will.
Just mention it.
I'll tell him about it and see if it's... Yeah, see if he... Because we did something at Western Piedmont a few years ago, a couple of years before I retired, and we called it the home game and just had some of them talk about their experiences. You know, Judge Sitton was there, and he talked a little bit from the perspective of an adult white male at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the panel was, the purpose of the panel was to highlight these stories and let people hear some of the stuff that was going on then. Okay. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea? Thank you.
That was a story.
Thank you. That's a whole story right there. I told her that's a book. That's a children's book, you know, about resiliency and overcoming and stuff. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I stayed away 15 years.
I can understand why. Took some healing time.
Oh, yes. A whole lot of healing.
Yeah. And thank you, Jeannie.
Uh-huh.